All right. Heavenly Father, in the midst of this turmoil, dirt, violence, and everything that people are bringing up to try to destroy us, try to bring wickedness more and more on the land, I'm asking you by your might and your power that you preserve your people, that you would strengthen us with might in the inner man, that you would cause us to not move to the left hand or to the right, and that you would lift us up in you, build our fortresses in you, and that we would be holy, that we would be holy, separated unto you, to the praise of your glory, upholding what you uphold, despising what you despise, glorifying that which brings glory and honor to you. Help us as we realize you have a government. We've all but left it behind. We've taken something it is not. We've hewn ourselves out cisterns, holes in the ground that cannot bear water. And we've turned aside from you, the fountain of life. Have mercy on us according to your great loving kindness and the multitude of your tender mercies. Help us to pull from this message that which you taught your people so that we can apply it to our lives. Amen. And amen and amen. With the multitude of things that are going on, just that I know about. I don't know how many are going on that I don't know about because I don't know about them. But right here in America, you hear about what's going on in Seattle. You hear about people being armed, blocking off certain parts of the city. You better be glad, or black people better be glad they hadn't tried that yet. You hear about different ones and see different ones doing things and saying that they stand up for racism. You see different preachers making statements and joining in activist groups, having things to say. See people suffering. See people not knowing which way to go. How is it that those that were so strong in the church 7 months ago, 8 months ago, speaking in tongues, laying on of hands, declaring and decreeing, prophesying, being able to speak life to people, why is it now that it seems like everything for many people has just turned hopeless? Is it because there was nothing in the gas tank? I was riding the other day in my van, and I had another vehicle that I had just filled it up with gas. No, it was full. And forgot that I was on another vehicle. When I got in the other vehicle, and I headed where I could see where I was going, the GPS was working, and it had blocked my gas in. I made it so far, and I got out of the road in time, and it ran out of gas. Oh, how embarrassing. I had to call my son and tell him what was going on, and it wasn't like I was broke. I even have a piece of plastic. But what it did was it made me think. You can walk around or you can ride around thinking you have what's necessary to get you where you need to go. But if you're out when the time comes for you to keep moving, you'll find yourself at an abrupt stop. And sometimes that stop could be dangerous. We've been away from Numbers 31 for a while. We went back to it and we touched on it on the Sabbath. And we're going to finish Numbers 31 today if the Most High God, who rules all the earth, and all the what we call celestial beings and demons and all of those have to capitulate to him. If he wills, we'll finish it. But what I want us to think about is, with all the turmoil that's going on right now, with everything that's going on in the people that say they love God, being in a position of being scared, knowing things are happening in uproars and claiming it's the end of the world, maybe just because it's in America, there are other places that have experienced worse. Are we ever as a people of God going to be holy when we look for solutions? Are we ever going to be holy when we look for solutions? You see, holy means to be separated to God. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kodeshim. Those are the ones that are separated to the Most High God. Aye, Asher, Aye, I am that I am, to be His and fully His, doing things His way. Now, if you think that you're doing things His way and you're not, if you're limiting yourself on your freedoms, if you're limiting yourself on what you can do to obtain that, that's on you. If you're adding things that he said you shouldn't have, that's going to be on you as well. But to be holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, set aside to God, means that we have to look at every situation, every problem that we have, we must look at it from the vantage point of how is it that God has told us to deal with it. So in Numbers 31, when we're dealing with the government of God, I'm not going over the whole thing again. I just want you to remember that Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, they go together. It starts out when they came out of Egypt and they set up, he set up a government. And in that government, he was teaching them to be holy. He was teaching them how to rule themselves so that they would be able to go in and help rule the nations for him. Because God had told Abraham, your seed will possess the gates of his enemies. Therefore, if they possess the places of judgment of the enemies, if they possess the places of security of their enemies, you actually are supposed to be ruling and setting the agenda for the world. I remember the Messiah said something like, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I remember him saying, you're the salt of the earth. I remember that Paul said, do you not know that the saints shall judge the earth? You can't do it if you're not holy. You can't do it if you have the asininity of perversity to say that when God's word shows in Numbers how you're supposed to set up his government, how you're supposed to do his will, and you say that's Old Testament, and you dismiss it as if you said something deep and profound. Yes, you said something deep and profound, but it's wicked. It's ungodly to take his word and say that's Old Testament and act like it's invalid. Know ye not that Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, not given by the inspiration of some God that was a fool back then and did things one way and now he's smarter than he used to be. Or that he was holy back then, but now he's inclusive. That all things are given by the inspiration of God. It's God breathed. It is profitable for doctrine. He said that it was profitable for doctrine at the time he wrote that. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you're going to lead, if you're going to have a government, you got to have instruction. That the man of God may be perfect. Telios. Telos. Telestai, those words that talk about being mature and complete, that the man of God may be complete. In other words, the scriptures that are dismissed by many in the evangelical lawless movement as being Old Testament, they are given so that you can be complete, truly furnished unto all good works. When you finish 2 Timothy chapter 3, the way it's divided in your Bible, the next chapter will be chapter 4. Am I right, precious love? Chapter 4:1 says, I charge you, this is Paul talking to Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead in his appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. What word? The word that people say is the Old Testament that is no relevance to us because they got it from the Plymouth Brethren, and they got it through J.N. Darby, and they got it through Dallas Theological Seminary from a man by Lewis Ferry Schaefer. If you don't believe me, look up a book called Continuity and Discontinuity. Or look up the term dispensational theology. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He told you where doctrine came from in 2 Timothy 3:16. For the time has come when they will not endure the teaching of what they call the Old Testament. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn their ears from the truth, and they'll be turned into fables. The Greek word is mythos, be turned into myth. The Bible tells us in Romans 15:4 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. What scripture? The one that you're going to hear people say is Old Testament. All scripture. Whatever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Some people will never get comfort from the scriptures because somebody's going to tell them that's Old Testament. Why does the Bible thus then tell you to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord? Why does the Bible tell us in Ephesians chapter 2, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone? Why is it that Jesus is always saying it is written? Why is it Paul, when he talks about the part that preaches life? Give me some money. He said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox to tread out the corn. Isn't that what he does? He go back and quotes it. He said, do you think he wrote that for them or for us? The validation of you as a preacher or a pastor or whatever, being able to be paid for what you did, it comes not primarily that Paul used from what you call the New Testament, which was still being enacted. He went and validated by the righteous standard of the government of God in the Holy Scripture. Tim, why are you saying these things? Because of the fact, in order to understand God's government, there are so many things that is taken for granted because those people knew the culture, they knew the language, they knew Moses, they had come through being dispersed, they had been, some of them had been in Babylon, had been taken over in Babylon, had been in Persia, had gone through many things and had to fight magnificent wars during the time of the Maccabean period just to be able to have a modicum of freedom. They go in there and burning pigs inside of God's holy temple. They not letting the people get circumcised. They cutting and just killing the people. And Judas Maccabeus and the hammer, they were able to fight for God. I understand you say we don't fight, but, you know, if you look at things from one perspective and you haven't read many other things, I can expect that. But in the book of Numbers, the government of God is set up, and it is to be holy. It is to be righteous. So if you wonder why I'm going through it, first of all, I like to teach books because I know that there's a big dearth of ignorance when it comes to the word of God, and people will pontificate, disseminate, and they will say so many words out of their mouth that's totally against God's word, and they'll go and try to obtain freedom from oppression whenever they don't even have God's blessing behind it. But we need to stop that. So let's look at tonight. The holiness of God will demand that we seek his peace, his way. Did you hear what I said? Do you hear people nowadays saying, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace? First of all, if I was out there, and one day I may be somewhere, my son is going to say, if I have one, K-N-O-W, justice, K-N-O-W, peace. Because if you don't know justice, you will have no justice. Where are you going to originate and pontificate and come up with something that you can disseminate that is justice and leave out God's word? How? Tell Tim. How? We learn justice from God's word. Justice from God's word, most time we mock. Justice from God's word, we say it's harsh. Justice from God's word, we sometimes think it's too lenient. Justice from God's word tells us what the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, that dwells in the light, is unapproachable to man, that no man has seen nor can see. To him be glory and dominion and majesty and power both now and forever, is what he says about justice. So let's move on into what we're looking at. In the 31st chapter, we're going to make it through this tonight. Bless God's everlasting name. It says in the Lord, 31:1, the book of Numbers, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. We talked about that on the beautiful Sabbath. Why did we talk about it on the beautiful Sabbath? We talked about it because of the fact it was saying something that was really poignant. And I think that for those that have not joined us, for those that have joined us and have heard it before, then you just gonna need to bear with me, if you will. Because of the fact you learn a lot of songs because they play them over and over again. But I need you to understand, I want you to see where unholiness stepped in, where debauchery stepped in, and where the children of Israel was cursed. Let's go through it. If I read it quicker than you want me to, just remember, I'm trying to help you understand what's going on in this 31st chapter, okay? Because I love you. And I need you to see God's blessed word. In Numbers chapter 25, what has happened is a man wants to curse Israel. He wants to curse them. He's afraid of Israel. He's afraid that they'll get too big and they'll take over. He's afraid that what they have been able to do through God's power, although they're not the biggest in number, with their God, they were able to destroy some mighty giants. They had been able to come out of a land that had plenty of gods, that had plenty of trade, that had almost everything that people could want. They had food, they had fish, they had monuments going up into the sky. We're talking about Egypt now. And now they are out here in the desert and people are afraid of them. So this man wants them to be killed. I want you to understand something, but everybody listening to me might not be young. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that you know that we go through and we talk about things that deal with black people primarily. I did not say exclusively. Understand the difference in the word. Primarily means that I'm going to address home. Didn't the Bible do that? Didn't it say in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Then he says to the Jew first. That's primarily. That's what primarily means. Then also the Greek. For herein is the righteousness of God contained from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Talking to my brothers, those of us who know, not guessing, that we are the descendants of Abraham. Those of us who don't know, but do know that in this country we have been mistreated and abused. Margaret Sanger and a man named Francis Galton, and I own his book. It's called Eugenics. My copy is yellow. Francis Galton, the cousin of Charles Darwin, they had gotten together and determined we only want to have good genes. Let's get rid of the black people. And we can do that by cutting off their root, cutting off their seed. They were already cutting off the branches. They were hanging. They were doing different things to kill us. I want you to understand that this is what Balak was trying to do. He was trying to exterminate God's people. Why was he trying to do that? Not only fear, but you understand something. If the devil, the accuser of the brethren, if he can stop God's people, he can delay the time that God is going to execute his final wrath on him. So what Balak did, he hired a preacher. He hired a prophet, a soothsayer, one that had the ability to be able to deal with things on a level that's above the metaphysical of just the flesh and what we touch. And what he did, he tried to curse them. But the Most High God's protection was of such that he couldn't do it. Haven't you felt God's protection before? When somebody was trying to do something to you and you found out later, say, I didn't even know they hated me. I didn't even know they were doing that. And you look back. You almost want to sing one of those timey gospel songs where they say, oh, I got over. I know y'all want to hear me sing, but I'm not. And so you want to know how you got over. God, many times. But then, the man had promised he could promote him. Balak promised he could promote Balaam. So what you do, you are a celebrity in this area of the world, Balaam. You are a celebrity. If we had TV, you would be on TV. If we had commercials, you'd be on the commercials. If anything would go and we want to get people to stop doing this or start doing this or vote this way, we would call you. You are a celebrity. You are famous. We can use you. You have been built up. You have been built up so that you can have a place of prominence. And in that place of prominence, you can go do activism for us. We need you to activate your God. We need you to activate something that will cause these people to be destroyed. And he said, I can't do it, but I know what I can do. I can move them away from holiness. I can move them away from the exclusivity of their God. I can move them away from that God of the Word. I can remove them from those scriptures which are meant to give them life. I can move them away from the righteousness of God that will never leave. I'm talking about will never leave. When it transitions from the Levitical priesthood and the law that came from Moses, and it transcends and goes higher, not lower. When it says a scepter shall not depart from Judah, kingship, nor a lawgiver till Shiloh come, and to him will be the gathering together of the people. When it moves to Christ and it becomes the Levitical law, that not the Levitical, the Judaic law from Judah, like God had prophesied, it doesn't get less. For the scriptures, hear the scriptures, for the word spoken by angel was steadfast, I'm in Hebrews 2, and every transgression received a just recompense and reward. All shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed by them that heard him. I hear him again when he says, those that trampled or just transgressed Moses' law, they would put to death at 2 or 3 witnesses. How much sore punishment do you think he should be counted worthy that have trampled underfoot the Son of God and put him to an open shame? You think, because you've had evangelical lawlessness tell you that God's word is invalid, and you think that it's easier under the Christ, you don't know him. The writer of Hebrews said it's more. Why? Because now, I'm not giving you animals. I'm telling you to be the living sacrifice. So they hired Balaam to get the people. It couldn't work. He said, but I can remove them from holiness. I can remove them from God's word. And the moment that they are moved from God's word, the moment that they mix something with God's word, the moment that they'll have another lawgiver, that someone else that can tell them what to do, and they can be autonomous, which means self-ruled or self-law, anytime that they do that, Yahweh God will fight them. And so what Balaam did, according to chapter 25, he went and he tried to curse them, but he ended up blessing them. And once that happened, once he had blessed them, he got upset. And once he got upset, the man said, I could have promoted you. Get away from me. So in verse 25 of Numbers chapter 24, Numbers 24, 25, and Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak went his way. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. I'm not going to go through all the places, but if you have what is called a Strong's Concordance, or if you have a good dictionary in your Bible, or if you have a computer, you can just type in Balaam and put in Bible. It'll show you all the places where Balaam is, and it will let you know that he taught them how to make the children of Israel go in with all different types of sex, debauchery, and to stop being holy before God. Okay? And when he does that, am I right, Precious? And so he told them to stop, when he showed them that, they called the people to the sacrifices of their Elohim, their God. And the people did eat. They moved from holiness to syncretism. In the same way that we join in with groups, I was reading today and looking at the stance of the NAACP when it comes to gay rights, when it comes to the gay progressive movement. I'm looking at certain things with our congressman when it comes to the Equality Act. I'm looking at every organization that are getting millions of dollars right now. Now, I talked about Black Lives Matter the other day, the money. I read their website to you. I will do the same thing when it comes to conservative. When you talk about conservative, if the conservative is joining, I'm going to show you they're not Lily White. Now, when I say Lily White, I ain't talking about color now. I'm talking about pure. Anytime you're going to advocate and say that church, I mean, the founding fathers was righteous. I heard a man today on Rush Limbaugh's show. So I said, a lot of people don't understand. I've been listening to Rush Limbaugh, oh man, over 30 years. So why would you listen to that? I said, I get to hear the other side everywhere I go. I get to hear it on black radio. I get to hear it when I go out on the street. I get to hear it in the black churches. I want to be able to diligently inquire, but here's the point. I heard a man that was saying that the founding fathers, yes, they had slavery, but they need to forget that because America is the only place that has ever gone back and rectified it and got it right or working to get it right. How long does it take to get it right? Number two, the word of God never allows you to have it wrong like that and just dismiss it and say it because you say so, because you on a worldwide radio station and you want to tell me how to think and you want to tell me because there's certain things, we're getting things right. How long am I hands around your neck choking you and the spit coming out of your mouth and your eyes bulging and I lit up a little bit and you still going to be comfortable with my hand around your neck? And other such like that the conservative movement do. One other idiosyncratic thing that irritates me, we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Then why is it Martin Luther King was killed whenever he said we coming for our check? How is it that you never talk about when you want to throw out Martin Luther King's name? Why don't you throw it out when he says, I've integrated you all into a burning house? Why you don't talk about that? Why don't you talk about when he says, you have brought white people over here, you gave them land, you gave them seed, you taught them how to farm the land, you mechanized it, and you did all of that for them and did nothing for us. Why you don't mention that? Huh? So don't go telling me, Tim, you can see stuff when it's progressive and can't see the other. No, it's just the fact that whenever things come up and I address one part, I do good to get heard on one. Because what you call the conservative have always got somebody railing against them. But anyway, the point being made, I couldn't join the conservative wholeheartedly because it would cause me to have a syncretism. I can't do the progressive because it would do the same thing. But here the children of Israel, they were taught to offer sacrifices, they have joint interest, joint worship with the people, and they bow down to their gods. Now, we know that when they talk about bow down, I believe they bow down in worship. But there's another way to bow down, too, by participating. It says, and Israel joined herself to Baal the Peor, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel. Saints, let me tell you something. You better hear me. I may not even be here tomorrow, so what? If you're going to bow down to any activist group, read what they're about, see what they do, are they holy? But you might say, there's no holy people that's doing activism. Why not? What's wrong with us? Why can't we speak out? Why can't we tell the truth? Well, they may shut us down on Facebook. Well, you just be shut that dump down on Facebook. You just be shut down on YouTube. But are you going to be faithful?
Are you going to be faithful unto death and get a crown of life? Are you going to give up because it get hard? The Bible tell me in Hebrews chapter 11 that they wander around in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, tormented, and afflicted, of whom the world was not worthy. And here I am, got on shirt and pants. I can walk around. No more be scared. But Israel joined himself to just name any activist group that would not be following the teaching of the Bible. Listen, or any Christian-hearted, lawless evangelical group that does not stand for the holiness and the righteousness of God, any of them that are contrary to the law of God, any of them that fulfills Romans chapter 7 are not subject to the law of God because they have a carnal mind, are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When the Bible tells me we have another priesthood, when the Bible talks about Judah and it talks about the Christ, it says he's going to write his laws in our hearts and in our minds, and we all will know him, and knowing him is eternal life. And the anger of the Lord was kindled. I would submit to you the anger of the Lord to be kindled against us. You see people out there bombing businesses, tearing up stuff in the black neighborhoods, making black people considered to be the ones that's doing it when it's not. Do you not know that this stuff is funded? Do you not know that this stuff is funded? Do you not know that things are happening? Things are coming down from Barr and Durham. Do you not know that there are certain things that have happened that you don't know about when this is going on? There are things going on in the justice system where there was people spied on and their liberties were taken, and they are using us as pawns and people to be in our place to get us to join in them so God will curse us worse than we already are. Then why do you say we curse? Look at us. I mean, when you just think about you can go somewhere and get shot, or people can make a mockery and act like they shoot you or kill you to get you to do uproar. Yes, don't think that I'm not aware of more than one side of the news. Don't think that I'm not aware of things being staged. That's why I say what God says. So if you're lying, I'm still going to tell you what God say about it. If you stayed somewhere, you shoot a man and you didn't kill a man, guess what? I'm still going to tell you what was done. And if you've done it in false witness to get other people killed, you still should be put to death. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said, Moses, take all the heads of the people, hang them up. Take the leaders and put them to death. Because the leaders gave in and moved you into a burning house. The leaders got you to join in something, trying to get something done that you can have access to God. You can have food. You can have pleasure. You can have all of that without being holy. And it says that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. I would to God that we ministers would come together and we can say, you know what? We may have differences, but the righteousness of God must prevail. And we could stop having other people to come in and sanction us and tell us it's okay for us to say what we need to say. The ungodly say what they want to when they want to, and we are buckling like we don't have a God. What a shame and a disgrace before God that we can look back and see David was better than us. David was better than all the men out there that day. I know your mission. David said, is that not a cause? Then he said, yes, he did. And he said, slay everyone that has joined himself to Baal Peor. We need to put everybody in check that have determined that we're going to join these groups and we're going to make ourselves holy like God say again. Well, I'm only reading 6 and 7, I believe. And behold, the children of Israel came unto the brethren, the Midianitish woman, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the tabernacle of the congregation. God had sent a pandemic to them. He had sent a pandemic, a plague, and he was wiping them out and killing. And guess what? Somebody's having a little parade, he and his woman. He got this little woman, this little black, beautiful woman with him, and they getting ready to go and have sex. They're going to have a parade, put on an exhibition in front of the people. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from amongst the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And when he went after the man of Israel into the tent, he thrust both of them through, probably while they were doing coitus, intercourse, having sex, knocking boots, getting busy, however you want to call it, both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. And the plague was stayed because
somebody cared enough for the holiness of God, they just got to stop. Nobody told him what to do. But he knew that God was angry, and he acted. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And Yahweh spake to Moses, listen to this, and don't you ever forget it. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, I know who he is. He turned away my wrath. You see, a lawless evangelical preacher that does not love the word of God, he'll never turn away the wrath of God. Did you hear what I said? He'll never turn away the wrath of God. How do you know that, Tim? How do you know he'll never turn away the wrath of God? Because Malachi 3:6, when we went through the book of Malachi, said God doesn't change. He changed not. That's what he said. You know what he said? And as they say in James 1:7, they talk about God, the Father of light, in whom there is no shadow of turning. There's no variableness or shadow of turning. So he turned away my wrath from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my namesake among them, that I may not, listen, that I may, women, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Do you understand? He was zealous for the Lord. Many of us will never be zealous for God. As a matter of fact, we've already determined, we've seen that if you can't, some people, if they can't go to church, they ain't got nothing for the Lord. They ain't got nothing for him. As a matter of fact, don't even want to hear anything about the Lord at all. I want you to shut your mouth and keep your mouth shut. Why is that? Because we don't want to hear it. We don't care nothing about it. Why? Because that's for church. It's not for us. It's a sad thing that the only time that you can care or mention God's name or even his title is when you're in church. I grew up with those kind of men. I still see those kind of men. Sometimes I work with those kind of men. The only time that you can ever hear something about God is whenever you're in church. Now, listen. Let's do a recap. The reason God was pleased is Phinehas was zealous for his namesake. I want you to look in your New Testament for those that don't like Old Testament, which happens to be a multiplicity of people. But in Titus 2, I want you to hear what Titus 2:14 says. Tim, what? Let's go ahead and start at verse 11, and when you get to 14, let's hit the gold buzzer when you get to 14. You all know anything about the gold buzzer? Okay. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. The grace of God, it appears. Okay? Let's look at it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that's what it does. It has appeared to all men. All men don't receive it. What does it do? It teaches us to deny ungodliness. It teaches us not to be aligned with Baal of Peor. It teaches us not to be aligned with anything that's unholy. It teaches us not to look for the solution to our problems through things that's going to make God upset with us. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Almost every activist group that is getting money right now from the celebrities that don't love God, look at their agenda. They promote debauchery. They promote all kind of sexual activity. They promote lawlessness. They hate the God of the scripture. And if you love God, they hate you. You are their enemy. And why would you join with their enemy and call yourself wise? That we should live soberly. That's soberly when you learn to be holy and separate. Righteously. I know my preachers say you can't be righteous. Nobody's righteous but one God. What did Paul must not have knew what he was talking about then? Righteously and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, gold button. Boom, 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 boom. Here's the gold. See all the gold dropping? Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, that he could purify that inside of us, that he could make us holy and make us a people like Phinehas, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise thee. I hope I rebuked. Listen to the revelation.
when the master is talking himself. In the 20th verse of chapter 3, I don't want to do the 20th verse. I want you to look at verse number 18 and 19, where you've got a group of people that think they're rich. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire. Talking about somebody that's willing to do the test, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment that you may be clothed, and that your shame of your nakedness do not appear. You don't want to be mixed up with a band of mice and your nakedness appear, and somebody come through zealous of good works, have to put you down like a rabid dog. That the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous. Be zealous. Like many of them, repent. Repent. Repent for what we're doing. Repent if you're doing it. Be repent. Be zealous. What's the point? I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door. I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. You want fellowship with him or you want fellowship with them? You got a choice. And then he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the ecclesia, to the called out. I know your version say church, but I know what churches are up to a lot of times, and I prefer to use the word behind the English. Now let's go to 31, because now I think I've built it up enough. If I haven't, you have to ask me a discussion. We read all the way down on Saturday. We read all the way till they took the spoil. So now let's go to 12. Should I read? Do you think I should read that to 11 or just pick up there at 12 first? I'm picking up at 12. And they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses. And Eleazar, the priest of the congregation of the children of Israel, to the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. In other words, they went and destroyed their enemy and they got the booty. Because, see, what they didn't realize, but what God had to make them understand, war has been declared on you. And so you have fought back. And since you fought back, God has given you spoils of war. You don't think it's war when somebody trying to get you to move away from the holiness of God, but it's war. When some woman trying to seduce you, when some man is trying to seduce you, when somebody trying to get you to do evil, they are actually declaring war on you. You don't think Satan declared war on Eve? Then you don't really understand the scripture. But did you see it was war whenever he tried to tempt Christ? Well, then why are you inconsistent in your thinking? Verse 13, and Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. So they're coming back with the booty from the war. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host and the captain of thousands and the captains over hundreds that came from the battle. And Moses said unto him, have you saved the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against Yahweh in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that have known man by lying with him. But all the women that have not known man by lying with them, keep alive for yourself. If you don't understand the holy war of God, I believe Deuteronomy 20 will help you understand the holy wars of God. But what I want you to understand is this. There was a plague among the people, and whenever they would have war far away, they could let the women live. Because the women could become a part of Israel and the women could obtain salvation. But the men are the offspring of the leaders of the men, and the men would be able to rise up against them and fight. In this case, when the people were close, like the Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, those people, when they would have war, they would actually have to put everything to death because it was there, and God would exterminate them because God had already told Abraham in Genesis 15 that you would be destroying your enemies because the iniquity of the Amorite was not yet full. In this case, they were kind of a little further away because Balaam, it came from the what they call over there by the Euphrates. They wasn't as close. They weren't as far away. So it was like in between. But Moses said, didn't you see what happened with these women? Do you not see that when you mixed together, that was your problem? And so since you brought them, We got to exterminate this group of people because I say so, not because you want to, because I say so. I created life. I've given these people opportunity. You know nothing about it because I'm the God of all the earth. I'm not just your God. I'm the God of all the earth. They had opportunity to walk with me. They had opportunity to do things with me, but they decided to follow Elohim of other nature and other substance. But the women can be absorbed because the seed comes through the man. Here's a place where a person don't realize that there's a blessing. But I'm going to show you something. The wicked take that. The Muslims took that and killed we black people, cut off our penises, made us eunuchs, took our women and made little Muslim children. And they control Egypt now. They control certain parts of Africa now. And over here in America, our white brothers, I say brothers because they share humanity, often they don't share the same God because the God of their Bible and their Jesus would allow them to enslave us, to beat us, and say that just forgive and don't look for restitution. That ain't the God of my Bible. It's not, never have been, never will be. But they will make mulatto bastards. And then the white men would have sex with their own daughters. And then when they would get them pregnant, they would allow them often to go out, the daughters and the granddaughters, to go work in white establishment because they were a little cleaner than the dark skin. So he said, kill them. But this is what they would do. This is what genocide is about. This is what killing the male is about. You can keep the women and keep yours going. But in the case of black, it's something about that black skin. They don't even want that to exist anymore. So therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman that have known man by lying with him. But all the women that have not known man by lying with them, keep them alive. Now, I want you to understand. You see all these women that they have? This is how you get to see Israel. Israel may have some lighter and darker, what we would call colors or complexion. But this is still based on the Father. It is not based on the Khazars. It is not based on Ashkenazi. It is not based on Russian Jewry, where you only have people to convert. These people, if they're women, if they're going to have children, they will not be in America. They will not have artificial insemination. It will be from the penile injection of that male. All right? Is there a cleaner way to say it? It is. And do ye not abide without the camp? Listen. And do ye abide without the camp 7 days, whosoever has killed any person, whosoever touched any slain, purify both yourself and your captives on the third day and on the seventh. God is about life. He does not want death to contaminate the life that he has given them. He's wanting them to value life and purify your raiment and all that is made of skins and goat's hair and all the things made with wood. Notice, he's going back through again, having them to purify themselves and to be clean. But now he's doing the physical. Why? Because Phinehas had to help you do it spiritually. He dealt with both back then. But you all only want to do the part that you can see. 21, and Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war, which went to battle, this is the ordinance of the law, which Yahweh commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and the tin, and the lead, and everything that may abide fire, you shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation, and all that abideth not the fire shall you make go through the water. In other words, everything that's going to be good and come before God is clean. It's going to be tried through the fire. That's from your booty. How much more then when you think about your lives? How much more then are we going to go through the fire? How much more do you understand? Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. In other words, we're going to be tried. The Bible said the finest pot is for silver, the furnace is for gold. God tries the heart. And that which can't go through the fire, you go through the water to be clean. Why do you think that the Messiah says, John 17:17, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you? Why do you think he says in Ephesians 5, when he talks about how Christ sanctifies his church and washes with the washing of water by the word? How much more, if you're going to take booty, if we're going to be his booty, if we're going to be his chosen vessels, He's showing you through the training wheel, the process. 24. And you shall wash your clothes on the seventh day and be clean, and afterwards you shall come into the camp. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, take the sum of the prey that was taken both of man and beast, and Eleazar the priest and the chief of the fathers of the congregation, and divide the prey into two parts, between them that took part of the war, and between them that went out to battle, and between all of the congregation. What they're saying is, those who went to battle get a part, those that didn't go to battle get a part, and levy a tribute to Yahweh of the men of war that went to battle, one soul of 500, both of persons and of bees and of asses and of sheep. What I'm going to do is, I got both of my Bibles open. I'm opening it to NIV, to ESV, so that these numbers will be easy to go through. And levy for the Lord a tribute. I'm in verse 28, a tribute of the men of war who went out to battle, one of 500 of the people, of the oxen, the donkeys, and the flocks. Take it from their half and give it to Eleazar the priest as a contribution for the Lord. And the people of Israel's half, you shall take one drawn out of every 50 of the people, of the oxen, of the donkeys, of the flock, of the cattle, and give them to the Levites who will keep guard over the tabernacle. Just one out of 50, give it to the Levites. Their job is to not only teach, but to police the sanctuary. 31. And Moses and Eleazar the priest did as Yahweh commanded. Now the plunder remaining of the spoil the army took was 675,000 sheep. When I read over it and it said 600,000 and 70,000 and 5 sheep, I said, I'm not going to read it like that. I'm going to read it like this. Of the cattle, 72,000. 61,000 donkeys. 32,000 persons in all, women who had not known man by land with them. 32,000 women that can have babies, okay? Some of them might have been young and had to grow up, but remember, we started out with 605,000 men, and then when they all died off, they had already had another 605,000 that could be on the scene. So it's 32,000 women that's going to be able to come in and be a part of Israel and have Hebrew babies because it's counted by the father. Does that make sense? No, I ain't going to say, does it make sense? Is that understandable? Because I already know it makes sense. God said it. And it says, all the women who had not known men by lying, half of the portion of those who had gone out into the army, numbered 337,500. Half of the goods of those that had gone out in the army were 337,500. And the Lord's tribute of sheep, because of how many they took per 500, was 675. The cattle was 36,000, which the Lord's tribute was 72. The donkey is 30,500, which the Lord's tribute was 61. He's not asking for much, is he? The person that was 16,000, because you got half going to the people that went to war, half to the people that stayed. So they even split up the women. Half of the women went to the men that went to war. Half of the women were left so that the men, I don't know how they went about determining who would be able to get one for a wife, but anyway, 16,000 of them. And then the Lord's tribute was 32 persons. And Moses gave the tribute, which was the contribution of Yahweh, to Eleazar the priest, and commanded as he commanded Moses. From the people of Israel have, which Moses separated from the men who had served in the army. Listen, I want you all to see something. Did you see how much the Lord got? Let's just kind of skip back. It's not going to be hard. In verse 38, out of all of that 675,000, the Lord got 72 cattle. He got 61 donkeys. The Lord got 32 persons. So when somebody throw up in your face, Abraham went to war and he paid a tithe out of all he had, don't even go for it. It is not mandatory for everybody to do that. 48.8% went to the men who went to war. 48% went to the people that stayed inside and with the stuff, and 2.2% went to the Lord, not 10. I just thought I'd throw you out there for free. Because a lot of times people try to make the tithe, you know, we don't love the law, we don't love the Old Testament, but you better give me that tithe, you better give me that tithe. Yeah, you're inconsistent because you're scared you ain't going to have enough money to eat and live, or maybe you don't know how to work or don't want to work anymore. Anyway, verse 47.
From the people of Israel, Tahath took 50 of both person and beast and gave them to the Levites who kept guard over the tabernacle of Yahweh as Yahweh commanded Moses. And the officer who was over the thousands of the army, the commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, came near to Moses and said to Moses, your servants have counted the men of war who were under our command. Listen, and there is not a man missing from us. They went up and they fought against the thing that was having them cursed. They actually became zealous for the Lord. They saw that God's hand on them was worse than anything that Balaam or Balak or Sion or Og or Egypt could have done. When are we going to get to the place that we realize that there's not an activist group, there's not a China, there's not a United States, there's not a UN that is totally against us as a people that can fight against us and win if God is for us? How and when are we going to see that? When? Well, the Bible says in verse 50, it says, I want to read 49 again because this is so beautiful. It says, your servant has counted the men who were under our command, and there is not a man missing from us. And we have brought the Lord's offering where each man has found articles of gold, armlets, bracelets, signet rings, earring, beads, to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord. In other words, we gave God what we required, but we looked at what he did for us, how he set us free, how he has established, how he has given us so much, because we determined we were going to be zealous for him and be holy. We're going to give God extra. Somebody else might say, you know, man, we could have stashed that for a rainy day. They said, we're going to give him extra as atonement for our soul, because the only reason we had to fight this fight like this is because we turned. We should have been destroyed. He had mercy on us. 51, and Moses and Eleazar the priest received from them gold, all the crafted articles and the gold of the contributions they presented before Yahweh from the commanders of the thousand, and the commanders of the hundred was 16,750 shekel. Now, a shekel is about 2.5 ounces by itself. The men of the army, each of them had taken plunder for himself, and Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from the commanders of the thousands and hundreds and brought it into the tent of meeting as a memorial for the people of Israel under Yahweh. Would to God that we would be zealous for the Lord and that we would fight to uphold his holy standard and separate from anything and anybody that would cause God's curse to be on us because we've given ourselves over to licentiousness and to debauchery, and that we've gone to other methods of trying to obtain freedom from oppression and get the right type of restitution we're supposed to be. Would to God that we would do it his way and let him work for us. And then we go before the Lord and we bring him a big offering. And we bring him thanks. And we bring him praise. But as long as you're declaring and decreeing and you're still disobeying, you're not going to get it. I pray to God that he will let some of us get it anyway. Some of us that's willing to do right. Some of us that don't have the power to get other people to stop being comfortable in their mess. That's what we're going to have in chapter 32. We're going to have a group of people that's comfortable where they are without going all the way with God. If we're going to be holy and we're going to be free and we're going to be the light of the world, we must affix ourselves to listen to the word of God. We got to go back to listen to the word of God. We can't just let an evangelical systematic theology or let some commentary or psychologist or sociologist, we need to go back to the word of God and be holy and do things his way. When we do things his way, what we're going to do is we're going to demand righteousness first with us and his governmental perspective. We're going to demand it from others. And what we're going to do, we're going to seek with all our might to exercise every bit of our power and strength to separate from those that would hurt us, even if that means we stop giving them business. We can do it. We can do it. We can make they buckle when it comes to money. Let's make them buckle when they see the righteousness of God in us. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace and power. help us to understand what it means to be holy, what it means to be set apart for you, what it means whenever we allow ourselves to be joined in the groups trying to get something because we don't want to wait on you. Forgive us for our iniquity. Give us the victory, the same kind of victory that you gave the people during the days of Phinehas. Whatever it is we're lacking, give us the zealous zeal that we would have that same type of spirit to the praise of your glory. Amen. Amen and amen. I now open our class for discussion if there's any discussion to be had. I might have made somebody mad tonight, but I know I told the whole truth. And that's the main thing. I've gotten to the place. I hope I was always there, but I've gotten to the place where we don't need to make everybody like us. We don't need to make everything what people want to hear. We don't even have to look to have the biggest audience. Let's seek in this ministry for God to be pleased, for his word to have free reign, because he's worthy. Do you have any comments, precious love? Do you have none? And I don't see any on the Facebook. Yeah, we can look and see if I'll see if anybody has any on the conference line. Do we have any comments on the conference line tonight? Well, if not, we can close out. I thank everybody that joined us tonight.
I wanted to say that the message was encouraging.
I hope that it'll bear fruit, because that's the main thing. May the Lord bless us and keep us and make his gracious face to shine upon us. Lift us up and help us to be holy and give us of his peace. Amen, amen, and even so, amen.